Bow our heads for a brief moment of prayer before we start. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this evening. We can gather together in such a manner in the name of our Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, as we come, as we listen to the promise that you will have for us, we pray that the Holy Spirit would indeed work in our hearts to open our minds to a need for a Savior of our souls. So bless now the ministry of your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to Vancouver Bible Presbyterian Church. We are so glad you could join with us this evening, despite the wet weather over the last few days. And this night's program is slightly different in the sense that we just have a cantata. You come here and you listen to the music and so on. But in this evening's program, you actually have something to do. You read scripture and you join the choir and somewhat. It is like putting up, not just looking at the Christmas trees and the lights and looking at the presents, they're all wrapped up for you. It is like you having a part to play in putting up the Christmas tree and putting up the Christmas lights. You having a part to play in slowly unwrapping the presents, as it were, because I think most people, right, celebrate Christmas today without realizing the real meaning of the occasion. Is like this person who has received the gift and is all wrapped up with nice, shining wrapping paper with bows and ribbons and so on. And you're so captivated by the wrappings that you forget to take away the papers and the ribbons to see what's inside the box. And so most people celebrate Christmas this way. We are captivated by the externals, by the lights, the decorations, the tinsel, the jingles, and so on. And we do not really get to the real gift. And so this evening, it is our prayer that through the Word of God, we will come to know the person who is the Christ, whose birth we celebrate. Again, I invite you to look at the scripture text. It is in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and a promise is given to us there. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the first title. Counselor, second. The Mighty God, third. The Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And these are the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And these words were written about 800 years before the birth of Christ. Now, when Isaiah wrote these words, the nation of Judah was in a state of darkness. It was written over a period of three kings, or three generations of kings, beginning with Uzziah, who was a good king and a good general. He was a builder of things, and under his reign, Israel or Judah became very prosperous and very strong. But he was succeeded by his son Jotham, and then his grandson Ahaz, and as from the second to the third generation, Judah plunged into a state of decline, a period of darkness. Judah was surrounded by the enemies, and God sent, therefore, the prophet Isaiah to encourage the grandson Ahaz with these words. He says, "Take heed and be quiet, fear not, do not be faint-hearted. Thus saith the Lord God, this conspiracy against you shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass." And then the prophet Isaiah asked Ahaz, you know, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God." Ask a sign. Ask that sign from God that will tell you that this darkness will be over. But this grandson of Uzziah, Ahaz, refused. And he says, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord," he says. Now Ahaz had made his own plans to provide safety for the nation of Judah. Nevertheless, God would give him a sign. That sign is given in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, which we read about earlier as well. "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Ahaz will go on to form an alliance with the Assyrians to fight off the enemies. But what a mistake that would be. Ahaz's alliance with the Assyrians eventually will lead to Judah being a vassal state, being captured, as it were, by Assyria. The friend became the foe. the ally became the adversary, and the people turned away from God only to find despair and defeat and darkness. And so the context here, this promise that was given in a state of spiritual darkness, as it were. In Isaiah 8 and verse 22, we read this, "The people shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, this dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness." And so the prophet Isaiah saw this prevailing darkness, but in the midst of this darkness, he saw an impending light, the light that God would send from heaven. And here's what it says, that the darkness will not be forever. Why? Because in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them have the light shined." There's a promise of this light. And that's the promise of Christmas, isn't it? I mean, we live in a world of uncertainty and trials and turmoil and violence. And yet, in the midst of all this, there is the promise of light, the light that comes from God Himself. And here's what Isaiah says, that there's going to be joy when there had been sorrow, and there's going to be light when there had been darkness. There's going to be a harvest where there had been deprivation. There's going to be deliverance where there have been oppression. And there's going to be peace where there have been turmoil and war. But what's the reason for this change? What is the reason for this optimism, this transformation? Well, it is all predicated upon God sending a light. And what's that light? Well, our text tells us this evening, in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, who is this child that would be born, and who is this son that would be given? Well, there is a close link between the two prophecies of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 and in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Isaiah 7:14 says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Isaiah 9:6, "Unto us a child is born, a son is given." The son whose birth was foretold in Isaiah 7:14 is also the child whose birth was mentioned in Isaiah 9:6. The son who was given as a sign in Isaiah 7:14 is also the son who will preside over a glorious reign in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. In Isaiah 7:14, we know that the birth of the son will be a sign. He is the Emmanuel, meaning that God with us, God manifested in human form, in human flesh. But in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we know this child is called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So Isaiah 7:14, he was given as a sign. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, he's introduced as the Savior. So this child, this son, this promise, this mighty God and the everlasting peace, this was spoken of, is undoubtedly of course our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born as a child, and it speaks of his humanity, his human nature. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, we read that when the fullness of time was come, God was sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Christ was also given, and that speaks of his divine origin, his deity. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 not only introduces to us the person of Christ, It also introduces us his offices and his titles. I mentioned the five titles in Isaiah 9 verse 6. He's called the Wonderful, he's the Counselor, he's the Mighty God, he's the Everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. This evening we'll focus on the first title, Wonderful, the wonder that is in Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We do not address our Lord Jesus by this name, but the title describes, Wonderful, describes who it is and what he is like in those who behold him. Wonderful describes his person. It describes his life. Wonderful speaks of the distinctive quality of Jesus Christ. Wonderful speaks of the excellencies of Christ. The word wonderful, by the way, in Hebrew is also translated elsewhere as marvelous. And he shall be called marvelous or wonderful. And so we ask ourselves, in what ways was Christ wonderful? In what ways was he marvelous? Well, first of all, he is wonderful in his birth. He was born of a woman. He was set apart, but he set apart from humanity. He was born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. You would expect the one who is the Son of God to be born in a palace of sorts. After all, when the wise men came looking for him, they came looking for one who is born the King of the Jews. And you expect one who is a king to be born in a palace, to be born in an important place such as Jerusalem rather than in a little small town, Bethlehem. This is one of those towns, you know, you drive along the highway. If there were cars back then, you would just drive past without noticing it. Maybe you drive to those towns, it says, well, the name of the town is such and such and population 223, that's all. And you don't stop at the kind of town, you just drive by. And Bethlehem is a sort of a town. But Christ was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And in a manger. A manger is a stable where animals were kept. His birth was unlike any other because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin, a miraculous birth. While his birth is wonderful also because the birth and the place of his birth were prophesied by prophets hundreds of years before he was born. He was born in Bethlehem of Ephratah. You know, there are two Bethlehems really in the whole of Israel, one in the north and one in the south, and this Bethlehem Ephratah is a small little town. His birth is wonderful also because his birth was announced by the angels, as we have read about just now in Luke chapter 2. The angels say unto the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. His birth is also wonderful because he was attended by the shepherds, and when they had seen the Christ child, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and that they heard. This thing which come to pass, this the word thing, really means the word promise. This promise which was come to pass. Our Christ's birth was wonderful because his birth was also the subject of praise and hope. Because upon seeing this infant Christ, there were several people in the New Testament, Simeon one of them. He says, my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. This is a unique difference or the distinctiveness of the Christian faith. Other men's religions are men's attempts to reach God. The Christian faith is God reaching down to men. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we read in John 1 verse 14 that we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of true grace and truth. So first of all, Christ is wonderful in his birth. Second of all, Christ is wonderful in his works. Christ is wonderful in his teaching. He was not trained in any rabbinical school. He did not have any advanced degrees in theology. Yet when he taught, the people were astonished because he taught them as one having authority. And those who heard him would ask, where did this man get his wisdom and the power to do these mighty works? While Christ is wonderful in his teaching, Christ is wonderful in his works of miracles. He healed the blind, he healed the sick, he made the lame to walk, he fed the multitude of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He called on the wind to cease and he calmed the storms. And so the disciples who saw these things marvel or wondered and said, well, what manner of person this is that even the winds and the waves should obey him? And the people recognized him for who he was. On his last journey into Jerusalem, you remember all the Jewish people lined the streets calling out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. And even his enemies were at a loss at his wondrous works. Some say that he was not of God, but others say that how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And so in the end, they had to resort to false witnesses to trump up charges against Christ and to put him to death. Christ is wonderful also in his life. He is holy. He is sinless. He did no sin. Neither was guile found in him. The Bible tells us he was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet he was sinless. He is without sin. Christ is wonderful in his birth. Christ is wonderful in his works and in his life. And then Christ is wonderful in his death. And that's why Christ is able to die on the cross, you see, to give his life a ransom for sinners. Of course, at this point in time, we celebrate his birth. But his coming at Bethlehem, his birth in the manger in Bethlehem, is only the beginning of God's redemptive plan. That's really the start. It will culminate some 30 years later at the cross of Calvary. Christ is wonderful in his birth, in his life, and in Christ is also wonderful in his death. The centurion, the Roman soldier that was with him at the foot of the cross, watching at Christ being crucified and seeing the events that happened at the time of his dying, the darkness that enveloped the whole world at noon, the earthquakes, the tearing of the veil in the temple, concluded, truly, this is the Son of God. That he should die at all is a thing most wonderful. Think about it. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. He who is the truth, the way and the life, gave up his life as a ransom for all of us. But the most glorious of all is that Christ is wonderful in his resurrection. And that really is the foundation of the Christian faith. Because Jesus lives, we shall live also. That's a promise. He says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And it is in Christ, therefore, we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ is called wonderful. Wonderful in his birth, wonderful in his life, wonderful in his death, wonderful in his living again, his resurrection, wonderful in all that he is, all that he has done, and all that he will do. But lest we be like the persons who look at the wrappings and the bows and the ribbons of, at Christmas time. I'm sure they'll be getting gifts along the way on these few days and be looking at all these presents. Do not forget about the gift. Do not just look at the box and say, well, what nice wrappers there are and what nice ribbons you have. Well, you got to open the box and see the gift. The gift is the Son of God. So Isaiah 9 verse 6, and again, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the first three words are very important. It says, For unto us, a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. For unto us. This phrase tells us that Christ was born and the Son of God was given for someone else's benefit, for our benefit, for unto us. Christ is wonderful in all things, and the wonder of it all is that he was given to us. The work of salvation surpasses everything that God has done, even in creation. Why? Because in creation, God only spoke a word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he spake, let there be light, and there was light. And all he needed for God to do in creation was to speak a word, and it was. He speaks, and it became. But in redemption, to save us, to save sinners from sin, God had to give his only begotten Son. And God in Christ is the gift of the God who excels all other gifts. Isaiah saw through the darkness and the gloom, and he saw a light. And he says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. How is that possible? How is it possible to see the light in the land of darkness? Well, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born for our good, for our profit, for our advantage. Not for the angels, you know, for you and I. It is the reason that of all that you have heard and will hear is this. In Christ Jesus is life, and a life was the light of men. In Christ he is the true light. He says, I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now the shepherds had seen the wonder of Christ, and they were transformed by the encounter. They return, and the Bible tells us, they return to what they were doing, glorifying and praising God. And this evening was supposed to be like we are the shepherds, you know, out in the fields, one of those mundane kind of evenings. But in Christ, these shepherds were no longer just shepherds. They become the servants of God. What an experience, what a change, and what wonder. And if there's one thing we can pray for this evening, not that you will just enjoy the singing, and that's good, but that's just the wrapping paper, you see. Not that you enjoy the company that comes with the celebration, and that's good too, but that's just the ribbons and the bows. That's just the externals. What do you need to do, really, to see the light and the promise of God is to come and put your faith in Christ Jesus as your Savior, who is the wonderful gift and who is a gift of wonder. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for this evening. We can gather together and to sing praises, to sing carols that talks about your love and your birth your coming again, your coming at the first time, that you love us, that you send your Son to be our Savior. And Father, we pray for anyone here who is still a stranger to our Lord Jesus Christ in terms of his saving grace. We pray that through the words that we have heard and through the singing of the carols, that you open our hearts to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So bless all who are here this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.